Lake Effect continues now on Milwaukee Public Radio. I'm Mitch Teich. Before the break, Milwaukee writer Barbara Miner questioned whether Teach for America was undermining reform efforts in urban school districts like Milwaukee. Naturally, Teach for America doesn't quite see it that way. Founder and CEO Wendy Kopp argues that many TFA alums go on to become leaders in education policy and social reform. What started as a bare-bones grassroots experiment in education has now turned into a huge network with thousands of participants serving 35 urban and rural areas across the country. Kopp says TFA has faced criticism before, but it doesn't stop thousands of idealistic college graduates from applying for the competitive program each year. She tells Lake Effect Stephanie Lecce that, in fact, TFA plays one key part in broader reform efforts.
Well, Teach for America is, you know, working to fuel the larger movement to eliminate educational inequity by enlisting our country's future leaders in the effort. You know, we believe that this problem is so massive and also so systemic in nature that our best hope of addressing it is to marshal the energy of our country's leadership against it, in the sense that ultimately we think we need some of the most talented, you know, driven people in our society working full time to address the problem.
How many TFA alumni end up staying in education either as teachers or, you know, going on to being principals or some mm-hmm. form of administration? And how many go into kind of the more policy side mm-hmm. of education reform?
Well, there are 17,000 Teach for America alumni right now. Actually, about two-thirds of them are working full-time in education, and about 60% of the people who have left education have jobs that relate in some way to schools or low-income communities. So really about 90% of them are doing something in whether it be their professional or civic life to tackle some aspect of the problem of educational inequity.
Is the idea that you can't really understand the problem unless you've faced it firsthand in an experience like being a teacher in a low-income classroom?
That experience of teaching successfully in our under-resourced communities is such a transformative one for the teachers themselves. It leads them to realize that, in fact, we can solve this problem, that when kids are given the chances they deserve, they excel. And it also gives them a very grounded understanding of how to solve the problem so that they reject any silver bullet theory, you know, and recognize the problem in all of its complexity. And we think ultimately, if we can reach the point where we have a critical mass of leaders in our country, not just a few, but many of our leaders who understand those things, that's what will give us a chance to ultimately affect the fundamental changes necessary to truly realize educational excellence and equity.
It's clearly very competitive to get into Teach for America for recent college graduates. How do you ensure that Teach for America doesn't just become a resume patter for those who are trying to apply to grad school or law school?
There are many easier ways to pad your resume, and I think, you know, thankfully that for the most part people realize that. You know, it's hard to imagine a more challenging pursuit, you know, right out of college or the beginning of someone's career trajectory, to say, okay, you know, I'm going to take, you know, classes of kids in our country's most economically disadvantaged communities and not simply move them ahead, you know, a year's progress in a year's time, but really work to put my kids on a level playing field and on a different academic trajectory.
Part of the problem we see here so much in Milwaukee is that it's very difficult to retain new teachers, let alone attract them in the first place. Doesn't Teach for America essentially add to this kind of revolving door with this two-year commitment that the applicants work for?
Of course, I believe it's completely critical to have long-term sustained leadership within our classrooms, within our schools, within our school systems. We will never solve this problem without that. But at the same time, you know, all you have to do is teach for 2 years and you realize that more teachers, you know, going above and beyond to make up for all the weaknesses in the system and all the extra challenges the kids face ultimately isn't the sustainable solution. Ultimately, You know, we can't solve the problem from within our schools and classrooms alone. And, you know, we need a policy context. We need people who are in leadership roles across our professional sectors who say, you know what, we're gonna affect the systemic changes necessary to truly solve the problem. And then there's the question of, in the meantime, you know, does the fact that we have, you know, a growing number of these folks committing 2 years to teach in our highest poverty communities, you know, with the recognition that some of them will leave, is that a good thing or a bad thing? And the research would show that it is a good thing. You know, the most recent study that came out in North Carolina based on 8 years of data at the high school level showed that students are better off, in fact, with Teach for America Corps members, even in their first and second years, than they would be with assigned to an average experienced teacher.
TFA has sometimes come under fire from traditional teaching programs for kind of being one of these alternative methods through which a person can get involved in education and be at the head of a classroom. But what have you seen to be the most effective teaching methods in these kind of high poverty urban and rural areas where there are the most high need students?
We've learned so much over time about what it takes to teach successfully in our urban and rural areas, and over time have invested increasingly in the training and ongoing professional development that our core members receive. So, you know, sometimes I think the perceptions of Teach for America's approach to training and the reality just really are two very different things. What we've found is that teachers who, you know, truly succeed with their kids, who put them on a different academic trajectory, are basically doing what the most successful leaders do in any other context. You know, they're stepping back, they're establishing a vision of where their students will be at the end of the year, like great leaders establish a vision. They're motivating others, their kids, the kids' families, in working incredibly hard to reach that vision. And then they're being extremely purposeful, relentless. They're continuously improving over time. And so we've developed a strong kind of curriculum and training program that aims to help our teachers teach that way.
What do TFA participants say about, you know, the two-year commitment? Is it a matter of, you know, having that limit allows them to set specific goals to the end? Or, you know, is it kind of, well, I'm not going to burn out before my time is up?
I think it's important maybe to understand the origin of the two-year commitment. I mean, when I was a college senior and dreamed up this idea, I felt like I was one of thousands of graduating seniors searching for a way actually to make a difference. But I thought, you know, the real problem isn't our generation, it's the recruiters, because the only recruiters at the time were corporations trying to get people to commit 2 years to go work in their firms. And that was the origin, was just realizing that when you're a college senior, I saw all these folks not knowing what else to do, heading off to these firms saying, oh, I'll do this for 2 years and then I'll figure out what I really want to do and I'll go on and do something else long term. But then they'd get sucked into those firms, you know. So the idea was, let's put all of this around teaching. Let's recruit our most talented folks as aggressively as the investment banks are recruiting us, and ask them to commit 2 years to teach in our highest poverty communities. So it was never meant to be an end. It was simply meant to be, you know, we want people to make their first two-year commitment straight out of college to be addressing what we believe is our country's most fundamental challenge.
Well, I wanted to ask about the relationship between TFA and traditional teachers in school districts. Obviously, in many cases, you are working in partnership with the teachers. But at the same time, there has been tension between TFA and some teachers' unions and some teachers in general, specifically in this economy, in terms of teacher layoffs, where in many districts, lots of teachers are getting laid off, yet TFA teachers are being retained.
You know, one thing I would say is that in the vast, vast majority of circumstances, Teach for America, you know, core members work so closely with and have such a positive relationship with the veteran teachers in their schools. And I think this is so much a testament to how they approach their work. One of the core values of Teach for America is respect and humility. And our people enter their schools knowing that they have a great deal to learn, that some of the people they can learn most from are already teaching in those schools. And so they look to find those folks and to learn from them. And we really find that this is just a deeply positive relationship. I think this environment and this economy create huge challenges all around. I mean, you know, there are teacher layoffs, there are layoffs of new teachers, there are layoffs of veteran teachers, and I think it's imperative upon all of us to continue to just keep the conversations and the communication going, because, you know, it's not the case that the Teach for America folks are displacing the other teachers. It's just the case that even as some school systems lay teachers off, you know, in some cases those same systems still need to hire new teachers for other vacancies that still exist.
In terms of the policy, education policy that's being pursued in this country right now, what's the next step toward making broader reforms, and how will TFA be part of that?
There's such a widespread recognition that attaining system-level change is about, there's nothing magic to it, there's nothing elusive about it, that it is about essentially building high-performing organizations, that all of the basic things that lead to success in any sector are the key to success in education as well, meaning this is really about ensuring talent at every level, meaning, you know, at the school district level, among our school principals, among our teaching force. It's ensuring that we build strong cultures and systems for accountability and continuous improvement. It's really about all of those basics. And what I think is exciting is to see an increasing alignment at the federal level, state level, and the local level around the recognition that is the case. So I couldn't be more optimistic. In terms of what the future holds for Teach for America, we view our role within the larger reform movement as being to fuel the talent pipeline, you know, to enlist still more people in this effort, to ensure that they are successful with their students and that they gain the foundational experiences necessary to fuel a lifetime of educational leadership and advocacy. So our role is to continue getting bigger and better over time.
Well, Wendy Kopp, thank you so much for taking the time out today and talking to us about Teach for America.
Absolutely. Thank you for having me.
Wendy Kopp is the CEO and founder of Teach for America, which she first proposed as part of her undergraduate senior thesis at Princeton University in 1989. She's also the chief executive of Teach for All, which develops programs similar to TFA in other countries. She spoke with Stephanie Lecce. That's it for Day 3 of Project Milwaukee. Tomorrow, we take a look at changes in the classroom, from ridding the system of institutional racism to using technology to boost student achievement to developing school leaders who encourage teachers. I'm Mitch Tyke, and hey, don't forget you can listen to all of our Lake Effect Project Milwaukee interviews plus WUWM news features on the Project Milwaukee page of the website WUWM.com. That's also where you can find an archive of all the previous editions of Lake Effect. Hope you can join us again tomorrow and every weekday, 10 in the morning, for Lake Effect from WUWM HD, Milwaukee Public Radio. Stay tuned. Fresh air is next.